So generally, what do you think are the most common prayer requests? So think of a prayer that you or someone else has prayed recently, and without giving away too many specifics, what sort of things were you or they asking for? And then more generally, what do you think are the most common prayer requests these days? Turn to the people around you and have a little bit of chat about what you think the answers to that might be. Okay, wrap up your conversation there. So, what were some of the common things that people prayed for? Either you or you've heard other people praying for. Health, yeah, that was my number one. I reckon. Yep. Okay, saving. Yep, and that's a great thing to pray for, isn't it? Yeah. That someone might be saved, that might come to know Jesus. Yep.
Intervention in everyday life.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably number two. Yeah, intervention in everyday life. So the things that we have coming up, you know, I've got an interview today. Yep. Hayden, did you have one? Oh, okay. Sorry, you're yawning like this. Jaden? Perseverance? Yep. Yep, yep. Yeah, I didn't think of that one, but that's a good one, isn't it? Mm. Here's some other ones that I thought of. Well, first of all, I thought that a lot of people really struggle to pray in the first place. So, and hopefully today, as we work through this, we'll find the inspiration to actually get in there and pray for people. But when we do pray, here are some other common ones. I thought family issues. So, you know, the things that our family are doing, the big things that they've got coming up in their lives. I thought maybe upcoming school exams for some of our younger people. We prayed about NAPLAN this afternoon, has it proved me right? Big decisions that we have coming up. So, you know, getting that new car, working out where we're going for our next job, you know, maybe issues around housemates or moving house, things like that. And I thought maybe perhaps we pray for persecuted Christians that they'd be relieved from their suffering. These are all great things to pray for, aren't they? We should keep praying for these things. God wants us to bring our cares and concerns to Him. But today we're going to hear a prayer that's quite different from these things. One that should inspire us to pray in the first place, and one that should give us the things to pray for. Today we're starting a new series on Colossians, and the big theme in Colossians is keeping your focus on Christ. And as we get into this, please have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 verse 1. Well, Colossae is a small town in Asia Minor. So there's a map that you might be familiar with when we did Revelation last year, I don't think you've had it this year, have you, Steve? We did it last year, and Colossae is, whoops, wrong button. There you go. Oh, it doesn't work. A top one. Yeah, I never get to use this. So that's Colossae there, and we're going to talk about Ephesus, which is over there. So, it's in modern day Western Turkey, not far from the bustling city of Ephesus. Now, you might know that Paul spent quite a bit of time in Ephesus, and while he was there, he met a local from Colossae, visiting the big smoke. This Colossian's name was Epaphras. Epaphras heard the good news about Christ from Paul. He became a Christian and headed back to Colossae to share this wonderful news with his friends there. Paul's never visited Colossae, but he knows all about them. Epaphras has made sure of this because now that he's shared the gospel with them, he's come back to find Paul and tell him all about their faith. That's where this letter comes in. Paul's heard about all the wonderful things happening in their lives, and he praises God for their strong faith. They can have a look at the first three verses of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So Paul praises God for the Colossians, and he specifically mentions five things. First of all, he says, because we have heard all about your faith in Christ Jesus. The Colossians trust Jesus as Saviour and Lord. That's what faith in Christ means. The Colossians trust Jesus as Saviour and Lord. That's number one, the first thing he praises God for. Can you see reason number two in the second half of verse 4? And the love you have for all the saints. In the Bible, saint just means another Christian. So I'm a saint, Kelly's a saint, Andrew's a saint, Jaden's a saint. What he's saying is that the Colossians have love for other Christians. Paul praises God for the love the Colossians are showing to each other. That's reason number two. Now look with me at verse 5, and we'll see reason number 3. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So reason number 3 is that the Colossians have hope. They aren't drifting through life aimlessly. They know where they're going and who they'll be with. And that's good news. That is the good news of the gospel, isn't it? That we can be reunited with God for eternity. That's reason number 3. But I think there are two more reasons in this first section, two more things that Paul praises God for. Let's keep reading. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it. So can you see what it is there? Paul praises God that the gospel is bearing fruit in their lives. What is the fruit of the gospel? Fruit's mentioned in quite a few places in the New Testament, but I want to take us back to the Old Testament, to that first reading we had back in Genesis 1, where God commands us to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now we know, don't we, that because of the fall, we can't complete this mission. Because we're sinful, we can't do what God has commanded us to do. We can't properly subdue the earth and rule over it as God's representatives. That's why Jesus, the perfect human, came, unaffected by sin. He is the one who allows us to bear the fruit of the gospel. It means that we need to become like Jesus. We must be reflecting his glory like God intended for us. And that's what the Colossians have been doing, isn't it? They've been growing in faith, in love, and in hope. They have been doing these things. But we also know that the gospel must be spreading. It's bearing fruit. It's increasing. It's growing. The Colossians must be sharing the good news of Jesus, just as Epaphras shared it with them. So that's Paul's fourth praise point. The gospel is growing in their lives, and it's being spread to other people as they share it. And now the last praise point, verse 6. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learn it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Paul praises God because the Colossians understand God's grace. Understanding God's grace means understanding the gift of salvation God has given us. It means understanding that Jesus Christ has already done everything for us. That's understanding God's grace. God's already done everything we need to be back in relationship with Him. So Paul has some good reasons to be happy, doesn't he? The Colossians have really solid roots. They have faith in Christ. They love each other. They look forward to heaven. They're sharing their faith. They understand grace. If someone wrote a report describing our church like this, I'd be delighted. That should be reason for us to celebrate, shouldn't it? These are solid foundations. These are good roots. By the way, it's worth asking, does this description fit you? I hope it does. But if it doesn't, you aren't living out God's design for your life. And that's a serious problem, don't you think? Take the opportunity to talk to another Christian about it, and we'd love for you to know and show Christ in your life. So, Paul knows that the Colossians are strong. And so, what does Paul pray for them? Perhaps we might think that there's not much to pray. There are plenty of things to praise God for, but not much to pray for. Instead, perhaps Paul should be focusing his attention on the Galatians in the next province, or the Corinthians. We know from their letters that they had plenty of problems, didn't they? Lots of things for Paul to pray for there. But what can he pray for the Colossians? They seem to be going pretty well. Well, we see in verse 9 that Paul does have something to pray for them. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." And this is what he prays, asking God to fill you with a knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prays that God would give them the wisdom to know him better. The Colossians already know God. They understand grace. They look forward to being with God in heaven. Paul rejoices about this, but he says, I pray that this is just the beginning. I want you to know him more and more. So Paul prays that they know God more, so that they can do the second thing that he prays for in verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. This is a prayer that the Colossians live out their faith, isn't it? Pleasing God in their actions. And again, this is something the Colossians are already doing. We've already seen that they love and serve each other. We've seen that they're bearing fruit, growing to be like Jesus, sharing their faith. Paul rejoices about this, but he says, I pray that this is just the beginning. I want you to please him more. And then the rest of the prayer is really Paul spelling out what it looks like to please God. One, bearing fruit in every good work. Two, growing in the knowledge of God. We've already talked about these two things. Three, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That is God strengthening them to stick at their faith in hard times. And four, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. And then he gives a little explanation why. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So that's Paul's prayer. Paul praises God for the great foundations that the Colossians have, and they really are doing well, aren't they? But he doesn't stop there. Instead, he prays that from those solid roots, they grow to know God more and to serve God more. At home we have a kappa lime tree in our backyard. And a kappa lime is grafted on to another type of citrus tree that's called a, I've just grabbed this off the label, so it's a Troia citrange. And this other plant is known for having a really good root. It's got a strong root base. Now we want two things from our lime, don't we? Firstly, we want that graft to be strong. We want the kappa branch to grow up from those strong roots. And the second thing is, we want our lime tree to grow limes. Now, at the moment, you can see there that the tree is pretty small. It's grown a fair bit over the last year, but it's pretty small. It only produces one or two limes. And that's good, but we don't want it to stay like that, do we? Now, we want lots of limes. That's what trees are for. They're to grow, to be fruitful, to take that nourishing sap from the rootstock and make it into fruit. And isn't that what Paul's praying for the Colossians? The Colossians have great roots in Christ. They're already bearing some fruit, but Paul wants them to grow. The aim of every fruit tree is to grow more fruitful. And every Christian should be growing more fruitful too. And I reckon there's a pretty big challenge here for us, isn't there? Is your aim to know God better and live out your faith? And is that what you want for other Christians? Now, some of you will be thinking, yes, of course that's what I want. Great. If you really want that, then it will show in your prayers. Does it show in your prayers? Have you prayed recently the things that Paul prays for, that God would give someone wisdom so that they can know him better? When was the last time you prayed that someone would grow in love more? Have you prayed recently that God would strengthen someone in their endurance? Or that a particular person would be joyful for their salvation? Friends, it's good to pray in every situation. I want to encourage you to do that. But hopefully tonight you've been inspired. Inspired to pray for people because we want to see them grow in Christ. And not just to pray for the weather or exams or health, but to pray that they will know God more and grow in him more. Let's pray. God our Father,